Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
So be free. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. That's one thing that I was going to bring up is this morning as we were spending time in our prayer time, something that came to me was that whenever the disciples were with Jesus, they asked Jesus, says, teach us to pray. And of course, we know that the answer to that was Jesus went on to show them what we now call the Lord's Prayer. But part of that prayer was, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I think that's something that we as a church body should be asking also. Lord, teach me, what do you want? Teach me, show me those things that you want for my life, for those around me. And to put the cherry on it where it says, your will be done, not my will. And when our will agrees with His will, guess what? Those prayers come to fruition. The prayers will be answered. Sometimes our prayers, we have that thought, that vision of how it should turn out, how it should look, and that may not be what He wants for us. So please stand with me as we pray this morning. Father God, we just thank You for loving this church, Lord. Not only as a whole, Lord, not only as a church body, but You love every individual that stands here before You, Lord. And we do say, Holy Spirit, have Your way with us. Your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And when that agrees, we get our daily bread. We get that peace that surpasses our understanding. All those things that sometimes we seem to want to strive for just flow. We're to have the Holy Spirit's flow in our life and not even notice that there's a difference. It should be who we are because He is who He is. So, Father God, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, just let Your Spirit flow, Lord. Let us know You in ways that maybe once upon a time we didn't know You. We choose to open the hearts, the eyes, and the ears of our hearts, Lord, to welcome You. Yep. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ.
As we go through this again this morning, I just want to encourage you. I don't know who this is for, but I know it's for someone specific. You're going to have stumbles in your life, and that's okay. Moments where you feel low and you feel down are moments where he comes in to make you strong. It's why the Bible tells us that when we are weak, He is strong.
Amen.
It's a moment of faith. It really is that He's able to come in and empower you in those moments and show you what He has for your life, the things that He's doing for you. If we allow God to move in our lives the way that He wants to, we'll begin to see that those moments that we felt were so low were moments of encouragement. They were moments to build you up. They were moments to give you more. I used to like, there was this sticker that used to be, at the mine, and we used to just laugh, but they used to say, when we plan, God laughs. But the truth is that sometimes We are so stuck on the things that we want, the things we feel we need. And I just feel because there are times where we really will be like, God, I need this. I need it now. And we're so focused on that thing that we don't even realize that he's saying, I've already supplied the needs. If you would just do what I'm telling you to do, it's already done. There is a transformation of your mind that just happens as you allow God to move and you allow God to do things in your life. You begin to see that just because it's the way we think we should see things go in the physical doesn't mean that it's necessarily the way that God's working things together in our life. But it doesn't mean that he's not answering you, and it doesn't mean that he's not placing every single piece in place for your favor. It just means that you gotta keep looking at him for the direction. I gotta take my shoes off because I want to move. Can I tell you? I don't know who this is for. Finances is the biggest area that the church will get caught up in all of the time. Because we are so dependent, right? The whole world feels like everything moves around money. Can I pay for this? Can I get this? Can I do that? But let me tell you that this is one area that God will really show you. You can be down to your last bit, and if he's telling you to give, I encourage you to give, because he will show you. This is an area in your life that he will show you that he will make a way when there seems to be no way, that he will provide when you feel that there is no provision, that he will give you every single thing you need, even when you feel like the numbers aren't adding up and they're not making sense. He's gonna show you how he'll come through for you if you just go after him. It's why he tells us that we don't need to worry. When you feel that worry coming in, just turn to him. God, what is it that you have? What is it that you want me to do? Because he will show you that he's there in every single step that he has for you.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
This month, I started the new year off studying Proverbs. And you know, it's amazing how you can read something 100 times and each time it's different. So one of the things that's really been touching my heart is that the word is the answer. The word is what brings life. Our tongue is dangerous. A critical spirit and speaking words instead of praying for somebody is, we've got to change our thinking. That we need to be thinking about how can we encourage someone. If we see that someone doesn't do something great, we can encourage them and say, you know what, that was great. And speak life into them. We need to speak encouragement to each other. And you know what? Sometimes we have to encourage ourselves. And how we get it is through wisdom. And he says, the word tells us to seek it because it has the answers for everything. The word is there available to each and every one of us, but sometimes we don't realize the power. We have to start speaking forth to your problem and speak forth in the word. And you claim it for yourself and say, you know what? God's word says this, not my friend says this, the doctor says that. You know, we have experts that God has given us, but also he has given us faith and he has given us a way to overcome. So when you have a problem, don't look at the circumstance. Look to the face of God. And we just have to, you know, grow in wisdom and grow in our faith and know that even if we're going through trials, it's to make us better. Yes. It's to strengthen us. It's to encourage us. It's to help us encourage somebody else. Even when you go someplace and you're out in public, smile at someone. Give them an encouraging word. Even if you don't know them, you look great. I like that outfit you have. You know what? What a great smile. And when you see people hurting, then you speak forth hope. And hope is in Christ. And you let them see who you are. So then that way, they can be encouraged and start walking in the Word of God. So please, I just encourage you that this is so important, is that stop with the critical spirit. Stop with the words. Instead, pray for that person. Pray for them. Encourage them. Because there's nothing to be said about something that's negative. So when that thought comes to you, put it behind you and think about the lovely things and about the things of the Lord. So thank you.
How many of you like to be in control of your lives? You know, to walk in the kingdom of God, you have to be willing to lose control. He doesn't want you to walk before him. He wants you to walk with him or behind him. He is our way. He is the truth. He is the light, right? Sometimes we want to get ahead of God. He asks us to wait for him. Sometimes we have to sit still and just wait for him and let him take the wheel. We have been trained in this world to go out and be in control. But I tell you that the way to the kingdom of God is to be out of control. Thank you.
The song says, vamos a alabar al Señor con pandero y danza. Vamos a alabar al Señor con pandero y danza. Vamos a alabar al Señor con pandero y danza. Vamos a alabar al Señor con pandero y danza. No me acuerdo lo demás. I don't remember the other song, but this morning I got this part of the song and I was so happy. But I remember this part and I say, what a great way to wake up and start remember that time of my life. To remember that time. And I was thinking, what a great time. What a great time to remember that time that I was dancing when I was in church and start dancing when I get to church with my pandero and my dancing and to the Lord. So I had to share with you guys.
Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Vamos a alabar el Señor, amen. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Hey, how many of you get it? Man, you could be doing it 5 minutes ago and all of a sudden you just can't remember it. Isn't that right? I mean, does anybody get that? Or is it just all you old folk? No, it's not. It's got nothing to do with oldness. It's got nothing to do with being old. How many say amen to that? It's what comes out of your spirit. Sometimes your mind and your spirit aren't connected. And this song rolls up out of you. And they said, man, I'm going to sing that in church tomorrow. And you get up there and you're going, I forgot. Praise God, man. I do it all the time. Just you guys don't recognize it when I'm doing it. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, he forgot his message. How many of you have seen me? Hey, he forgot where he was going. Yeah. I said, he changed directions. Yeah, he forgot. Hey, come on, man. Hallelujah. Sometimes the things of the Spirit lead you. I'll tell you more times than ever, the things of the Spirit should lead you in a different direction. How many say amen to that? The Spirit will always probably lead you in a place where you really didn't want to go. But once you got there, praise God, amen? Because you say, oh yeah, God got me here. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's called being led by the Spirit, amen? We're in a day, folks. Today is the day that God is saying, my kingdom is going to rule over all. How many say amen to that? How many know that? And it's, and you know, we pray it all the time. You're going to, if you look at your bulletin, you're going to see the title of today's message is, Thy Will Be Done. We say it all the time, Thy Kingdom Come, Thy Will Be Done. But you know, God is saying, hey, it's time. That my body, the church of the purchased church by the blood of the Lamb, begin to do what I have designed them to do. How many say amen to that? It's God's, that's his purpose. What he placed within you is where he's taken you. Is that okay? Can I tell you that? You are in a constant state of growth. Is that okay? You are in a constant state of growth. God is growing you. Hallelujah. Ooh, and people out there see it. You can't hide it sometimes. How many say amen?
Amen.
Just can't hide it. But there will be times where what they see and when and then what they know about you sometimes doesn't fit. How many, does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's those times when you kind of revert to the old dead man. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? How many, anybody reverted to the old dead man this week? Don't raise your hands. It's okay. No, let's just leave it down, man. Don't raise your hand. We don't want to know. Hallelujah. Hey, I've done it before. How many of you done it before? Reverted to the old dead man. Well, let him die and leave him there. Amen? You have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. The kingdom of God is your citizenship. Never mind. The kingdom of God is your citizenship. Amen? Hallelujah. The will of God. Oh, come on. That's your roadmap. It's his will, what he has for you. No more, no longer should be people be leaving churches, well, because Sister So-and-so doesn't like me, so I'm going. No more will people be leaving churches because, hey, they don't do this, that, or the other. The only excuse you have to leave a body of Christ that God has placed you in is because God leads you. Talks to you and says, I need you over here. Is that okay? Amen. Do you understand that he is the king? He is the king of this kingdom. Amen? Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. And I know that what he has for us is greater than we can imagine. Isn't that right, John? Amen. Stella, Terry, Rosie? Isn't that right? That what he has for us is greater than we can even imagine. It's more than we can imagine. It's bigger than we can imagine. Hallelujah. And he wants to take us to those things. How many say amen? Every one of you. Oh, this is what's so awesome. Look around. Look at all the people in here. Every one of you, God has something that he's working on the inside of you. He's doing it even right now. Said last week, I didn't tell Rosie that, I kind of put her on the spot, but last week I said something about it. The mind is that they got signs all over. It says a place for everything and everything in its place. Is that right? How many like that staying? I like to go into my shop and look, say, man, my screwdriver should be right there. Oh, there it is. Hallelujah. Praise God. My hammer ought to be right here. Yeah? Isn't that right? Isn't that right, Billy? You ought to be able to, I mean, hey, a place for everything and in its place. I can't tell you how many times I've looked for that, 2 hours for that screwdriver. I can't find that thing. And it's sitting right here in my pocket. I can't find that thing. Rosie, what'd you do with it? Hey, but see, in the kingdom, there's a place for everybody. And everybody, God's building this kingdom so that everybody takes their place. Is that okay? That's how the body of Christ will work. Every joint, every person is so important to the body of Christ. Everybody. Ooh, come on, man. Hallelujah. Your giftings. What you thought were just your weirdness. I mean, everybody thinks it's just a weirdness I got. No, those are your giftings. God says, I've made you different. And you're going to walk different. People are going to see something different because it's my kingdom and my glory that's in that weirdness. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ooh, how are you excited about the kingdom? Anybody? Anybody? Right there in your chairs. Just do a little jump. Yeah, yeah. Everybody does their head. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Hey, well, let's go in the Word of God. Thank you, musicians. I appreciate you. Hallelujah. I really do. Thank you, guys. Praise God. Thy will be done. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 22. We're going to start there, starting at verses 1 through 19. Let me pull that up. I know you got your phones, but I like to use my Bible. Amen? Because in my Bible, I've got all these little notes. And I know you can probably do that in your phone, but you'll have to be switching from page to page. I got notes all over my pages, scribbled in. How many have scribbled in notes in your Bible at home? Because while you were reading, all of a sudden God touched you and spoke to you and said, "Oh man, and this relates to that." And then you put a little notch in there. You color it with yellow or red or whatever. Before you know it, you got a mess in your hands. Is that right? But it's a glorious mess. Amen. Come on, man. It's a beautiful mess. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. This is the day, Lord, that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, Father. We will honor you and glorify you in every step, Father, of our day, of today. Today is the day. So, Lord, Father, I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of your people. Father, Holy Spirit, have your way in this service. Thank you for being in our song service. Thank you for being, Father, here with us today. And Lord, we ask you that you lead and guide us in the word. And Father, that you would speak to every heart, that you would strengthen and build your kingdom today in Jesus' name in this house. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Starting in Genesis chapter 22 at verse 1, it says this. It's a familiar story. It says, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, I'm here. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom you love, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, who I'll tell you of. Abraham by this time has grown in recognizing the voice of the Lord in his life. You know, the Lord told him, hey, I want you to get out of the land of your father. I want you to head out for Canaan. Well, where do you want me to go? I'll tell you when you get there. Oh boy, that's nice. Hallelujah. Okay, God. So he goes and he takes off and God shows him. God comes to him one day and he says, hey, fear not, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And Abraham says to him, well, what will you give me, seeing that my oldest in my house is not my son, and he's my servant, and he's going to inherit everything I have. And God tells him, he says, no, he's not. But you will have a son from Sarah, and his name will be Isaac. You'll call him Isaac. So Abraham has been, he's accustomed to listening to God. He knows when God says something to him, oh, that was God. It's not like some of us, how many say, amen. God tells you to do something and go, well, you know what, God, give me that in three, can you give me that in three scriptures, God? He tells you, go do something. You say, well, God, man, you know what? If a plane falls out of the sky, I'll do it, God. Yeah. Sometimes we make up whatever excuses just to do it. No, Abraham got up. But you can see in the next verse, he got up and he went. Is that okay? Abraham was accustomed to hearing God. So being that he's accustomed to hearing God, he has a trust for God that says, bam, let's go. Hallelujah. So I'm going to start at verse 3. Moving on, he says, Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, abide here ye with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come to you again. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand, the knife, and they went, both of them together. God told Abraham to sacrifice his son out of character. How many say amen to that? Is that right? That would seem like, to me, I would say, no, that wasn't God. But it was God. Abraham knew it was God. See, God didn't say, hey, you know, good morning, Abraham. This is the day I'm going to test you. Hey, you're in a test right now. Go and sacrifice your son. No, he didn't say nothing like that. He just told him, go sacrifice your son, your only son. Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, cut the wood, got it ready, took a knife, took some fire, and headed out for the place that God was going to go. He was going to tell him about. There is a touch that touches God that I believe in his heart. God looks and he says, you know, when I asked my child, I asked my servant to do something and he does it without asking questions, I believe that God says, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that. It's a beautiful thing where God doesn't have to wrestle you. Amen. You gotta wrestle. You gotta knock you down three times before you go, oh, I get it, God. I got it. No. It's a beautiful thing to get up and just obey God, what you heard. See, Abraham also had some other things. You know, I wonder if Abraham was thinking, well, he said to sacrifice him. He said, that's my promised kid. That's my miracle boy. God said, go sacrifice him. If God said to sacrifice, it says this in Hebrew, that he was convinced in his heart that God was going to have to raise him up again. Because the promise was upon Isaac that in Isaac shall your seed be, it'll be all over the earth. Is that right? Aren't you glad? Are you glad about that? Do you know that you are the seed of Abraham? Isaac is one of your fathers. Do you know that? Hallelujah. Ooh, come on, man. Tells him, get up, go, man. Abraham does exactly what his father told him. And Isaac, verse 7, it says, and Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Some kids just notice everything, don't they? Yeah, they go, golly, hey, man. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place where God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. This has got to be crazy for Isaac, for one thing. Well, uh-oh, my dad has flipped. Yeah, man. Dad, I asked you, where's the lamb? And here you're binding me up. And Isaac wasn't no little man. He was a teenager at this time. I know that Abraham's probably 114, maybe. I know that if my grandson, if I had to bind him up and put him on a fire, I would have a fight on my hands. Not to mention, I mean, you've seen my grandson. I mean, hey, man, Rosie, can you come help me put him on the barbecue? No, man. Yeah. I mean, I would have a battle, amen. But Isaac, as an obedient son, I really do believe, you know, it doesn't say a lot about what Isaac was feeling, but I do believe that Isaac says, my dad knows what he's doing. He's listening. My dad hears God. My mom hears God. My dad hears God. If he's wrapping me up to put me on that fire, there's got to be God in it somewhere. Amen? Can you imagine what's going on? Doesn't say that Abraham told his son everything that God had said to him. Doesn't say that at all. Because he asked about the lamb. He said, God will provide himself a lamb. And there's a cool thing about the words in there where it says God will provide and then himself a lamb. It was a future prophetic word that Abraham said that God's going to provide himself a lamb. Who is Jesus? How many say amen to that? God in the flesh. God's going to provide himself as the lamb. Ooh, come on, man. So here we go. God will provide. All right, folks, what verse am I on? 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Oh, boy. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went out and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Here we go. Whew. Yeah, you've heard this story before. But anyway, whew. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah, what? Jireh. As it is said today, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called Abraham out of heaven and the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, that in blessing I will bless you. I mean, Abraham picks up some great promises, amen? Just by being obedient. In blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. Folks, we're in the time that we are to possess that gate. Do you know that? Verse 18 says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. We'll stop there. This all happened to the place where in the land of Moriah, actually. And did you know that Moriah, the hill, the mountain, Mount Moriah, is actually where the temple's built? Did you guys know that? Probably most of you did. Second Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1 says this. Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount where? Moriah. Where the Lord appeared unto, oh God, where the Lord appeared unto, David, I think is the next word. David, his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. I was asking some of the folks this morning, does anybody know who Aruba was? A lot of you do. Aruba or Ornan. The Jebusite. This is when the Lord had provoked David to number the people of Israel. Do you guys remember the story? And he said, hey, go number the people. And his general came to him and said, Joab, go number the people. And Joab said, no, man, you don't want to do that. He said, no, go number them. He said, the people of the Lord are as a seashore, as the stars or whatever, you know. He says, go number them. So Joab went out and he numbered the tribe of Israel. And then when Joab got back, I don't even think Joab did all of them. He kind of skipped some because he wasn't happy about numbering all the people. It's like you counting your money every day. Doesn't do you any good. My wife's the only one that gets it because I said, okay, quit counting the money. Yeah, you guys didn't get that. Yeah, that's okay. It's all right. But he said, hey, no. So he went back and he tells him how many people, and then it hit David. He goes, oh, I should have never done that. And the Lord asked him, who do you want? 3 days of plagues. David just said, man, you know what? We're going to fall on your mercy, God. Do whatever you want to do. So God begins to smite Israel with plagues. So, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes people just make it seem like God doesn't care whether you do something wrong or not. Oh, he cares. Can you say amen to that? He cares when you're contrary to who he is. Do you know why he cares? Because he loves you. Anything contrary to this kingdom we're in is, I was saying this on Saturday, you're in a downward slide. Do you know that? You might not recognize it, but if you're contrary to what God is saying, what the word of God says, you're in a downward push. But if you're connected to the kingdom of God, everything in your life, if you're connected to it, you're rising up. Do you realize that? Do you know it? It's because it's his kingdom. This kingdom operates, this whole universe operates on the laws of the kingdom. Do you know that? That's the way God created it. Everything operates according to this kingdom we are in. It's been off a while now, hasn't it? Because mankind has had his way. But I will tell you that God is saying something to the body of Christ today. And it's not just gather yourself in houses and separate yourself from the world. It is. Do what I ask you to do. Very, 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 very simple. Amen? Just do what I ask you to do. How many parents have said that to your children? Just do what I tell you to do. Shut up. I'm telling you, shut up, right? Be quiet. And just do what I tell you to do. How many say, man, is that simple? Yeah. Us as parents, we say, it ought to be simple. Are you not understanding me? Just do what I tell you to do. Ah. Oh, come on, man. Hey, don't get mad at me, okay? All right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, that site where David repented and the Lord told him, go and do a sacrifice on the threshing floor of Arunah, or Ornan. And do a sacrifice there. And the plague stopped when that happened. When David did the sacrifice, the plague stopped. But it was on this mountain where Abraham took his son and sacrificed him. Was going to sacrifice him. But is in this area, in the Jerusalem, in this area of Moriah, where Jesus hung on a cross and died for you. Amen? And the minute you believed in him, you became a child of God. And do you know that? Is that right? The minute you were transferred out of the earth, you were transferred out of the world and placed into a kingdom. Do you know that? Well, you didn't know much about the kingdom. How you say amen? Didn't know much about it, but I'm going to learn. And God sent his Holy Spirit here to teach you and to help you learn. Folks, let me just say this to you. We're talking about looking forward and moving forward. The Holy Spirit is the only way to get move forward in the earth today. How many say amen? He's the only way. Let me just say this to you. The Word of God says that something very clear in 1 John. It says, you need not that any man teach you. Do you know that? If you're allowing a man like myself, you think I'm the one that's teaching you, you better think again, because I won't claim that. I will not say that. I will say, hey, I'm not, all I'm doing is transferring what God places in my heart out to you. And what he does with that, that's up to him. Amen? Oh, you got to get this. We have been so used to going to institutions that teach us how to count and spell and do all those things. How many are good spellers? Any good spellers? There's three of you. The rest of you can't. Don't write me a letter. Four of you. We're so used to going to these institutions of where man teaches us. But can I tell you that God says, I have sent my spirit to you, and he will teach you of all things. Is that okay? Is that all right? Whatever you need, ese, right? Whatever you need, he's going to teach you. You don't need any man. John and I were talking. any man can fail. Can you say that?
Yep.
Any man has the ability to go wrong. Amen? So the only place you can trust and put your trust is in Jesus, in the kingdom of God. Only place. And he sent his spirit to teach you. Is that okay? You don't need me. Although the God gives me words to speak. So that, yeah. You don't need. People will go to rabbis like crazy. They say, well, he's a rabbi, so they go, let's get in line. It's not that way. Hey, what does man have to do with the Spirit of God? That man needs to be spoken to and instructed by the Holy Ghost. Amen? You don't need man to teach you. Some of you think that God's not teaching you, but he is. Every day, God is doing things in your life. You know, the Bible says this, man, that Jesus told us, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. How many like tribulation? Hallelujah. Can I? Let me just say this. We don't like it, do we? But we're going through it. Is that right? Everything that happens in our life is teaching us and building us. Is that correct? It's teaching us and bringing us to a point that we know I can trust God. How many say amen to that? No matter what I go through, I can trust God. I can go through a bankruptcy if I need to, but I trust God. Amen? Somebody can steal my truck, but I trust God. Amen? He gave me a better truck. Hallelujah. One I wasn't looking for. My wife's laughing. Yeah. Amen. I can trust God. Ooh, that's right. Come on, brother. Come on, man. He's going to take care of you. You're in his kingdom, folks. Is that right? Is that okay? You don't need any man to teach you. And with that said, you've got to have the Holy Spirit teaching you. I don't need any man to teach you, but you're not going to God and you're not going to the Holy Spirit to say, God, show me this thing. Show me what's going on. Show me. If you're not asking God questions, you probably need to listen up a little bit. Amen? Yeah. How many say amen? Come on, man. You need the Holy Spirit. You need him. We talk about speaking words to people. You don't just go randomly speaking things out, walking down the road. Hey, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Amen, amen. Yeah, hallelujah. Glory to God. This is the day the Lord has made. Hallelujah. Rejoice, be glad. And they're looking at you. What the heck is wrong with you? You don't just do random things. You are to be led by the Spirit. It's his words when he speaks his words to you and they come rolling out of your mouth. Now we're talking about some power. Yeah. Not just some random thing coming out of your head. Amen? We got to understand that we are here to do the will of God. How many say amen? His will, not your will. Come on. I'm going to tell you something. When you gave yourself to Jesus, you actually died. The word of God tells you you died. We ought to have one of these days, John, we're just going to have a funeral service in here for all those folks that died. How many say amen? We'll just pronounce it. Everybody, we're all dead. All right, great. Now let's rejoice because God is resurrecting us. Can you say amen to that? Because you're all dead. Your will's not active anymore. God's not trying to get your will to his will. He's trying to tell you, look, it's my will and that's it. How many say amen to that? That's a tough thing to say. Is that right? But this is what God is saying. It's not you, it's him. I'm crucified with Christ. I died with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not your faith, his faith. Woo, come on, man. Sometimes we got to think, hey, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. Henry, you're going a little too fast. Am I going too fast for anybody? No, good, man. Thank you. Because I'm going too fast for myself. I said, hold on, God. Hold on, God. Let me think, man. Let me think. Let me just say this to you, that Jesus gave us an example of this thing that I'm talking to you about. His will over our will. His will kills our will. Do you know that? Because, folks, let me just say something to you. We have this thing about, well, I like to have my choices. Your choices and God's will are two different things. I like yellow trucks now. I like Dodges now. Amen. I used to be a Chevy guy. Yeah. My choices. But your will has to die. And you have to allow His will in you. I think this is one of the things that has stunted the growth of the body of Christ more than anything, not realizing that the will of God is what God saved you for, to do His will. Therefore, the church is walking with one peg leg. We're stunted. We don't know what's going on. We don't realize why is it, God, when you went into a room and you prayed for somebody, everybody was healed? Why is it when I go in there and I'm not even sure if it's going to happen? Why is that, God? Because our mindset is not the mindset of the kingdom. Do you understand that? I asked Jesus, I said, Lord, why don't they get sick? Why don't they get healed? It's your mindset. That's what my mindset. He said, yeah. Jesus knew without a doubt who He was. His mindset was without a doubt focused on the kingdom. So when He prayed, folks, you got to hear me. When He prayed, it was a directive from His Father that was within Him to pray. That's how things got taken care of, because the kingdom was in operation. Do you see that? Without a doubt. Ooh, come on, hallelujah. Let me just show you some of these scriptures. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 15:22 says this. We're going to hit this one pretty quick. Samuel said, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Obeying God. How many say that? How many know that's important? Yes. Obey Him. If you hear a voice while you're at a stoplight saying, wait a minute, just wait a minute. Can you say amen? Amen. I had a van full of kids one night. Isn't that right, Rosie? We had a van full of kids. We were heading to, I think it was called roller skate, was it? What's that say to you? No, not that time. Yeah, that's another. Hey, that's another one. Yeah, we're kind of on the wrong. No, skate country. We were headed to skate country. Pulled up to a stop sign. Looked both ways. Started to go, and the Lord said, "Hold it." And I looked again, and right then this car barreled through. I mean, it was a four-way stop. He should have stopped, didn't. They would have plowed right into me. So how many of you had experiences like that? A lot of you have. See, it's important when God says stop, amen? Yeah. It's important when God says go, right? Amen? How many agree with that? You're good with me right now. It's important when God tells you to do something, go to your neighbor's house, do it now. Is that right? Yep. It's important. Obedience is important with God. The more you obey, I will tell you, the stronger you build. God builds you and builds you and builds you. Samuel said, has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice and obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than what? Sacrifice. And to hearken than the fat of rams. Some of you just think, just because I'm giving money at the church, I'm doing my part. Like, come on, man. Hey, that's your sacrifice. Is that right?
Yeah.
It says obey. Hey, giving your tithes, giving your offerings, that is part of obeying. But there's other things God wants you to obey Him for. Is that right? I will say this again because I feel the Holy Spirit saying this to me again. God will not put up with your disobedient heart in doing things that are contrary to His kingdom. He will not put up with it. Some of you have been doing things for a long time thinking, well, God, hey, well, His grace has saved me. The fact of the matter is you're living by your own will. Do you know that? You're connected to your own will. You're doing your will, not His will. Do you understand that? God is saying, hey, today's the day. Amen. I'm sorry for you folks today here because you're hearing it from here. Yeah. You can't say you didn't hear it. Amen.
Amen.
You might as well just go like this. Stop. Listen, obedience is better. Is that right? Come on. Next verse, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 through 20 says, come now, let's reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, how many say amen?
Amen.
They will be what? White as snow. I'm going to wash those guys away, he said. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. He says this, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat of the good of the land. And then he says this, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Who has spoken this word? Obey, you'll eat great. Amen? How many like eating? Nobody. Oh, man, come on, man. It says, but if you refuse and rebel, what does God say? Be careful. Never get into your mind that everything is okay if it's contrary to the kingdom of God. Never let that happen in your mind. It will destroy you. Can I say that again to you? Whatever is contrary to the kingdom, if you're practicing it, you're playing in it and everything, it will destroy you. It will. The word of God says to repent. Turn around, turn away from it, throw it away, delete it. How many say amen? Get it off your computer, delete it off your phone, get away from it. Don't let it come again. Don't even entertain it because it's there to destroy you. It's there to stunt your growth in the kingdom. Do you understand that? Ooh, come on, man. Hallelujah. Next verse. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6:10. We say it all the time. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But do you mean it?
Yes.
Do you really mean it?
Yes.
Is it something that you mean? Or is it something that you said? I didn't realize that, you know, being raised as a Catholic, this was one of those prayers. He said, I think after every 10 Hail Marys, it showed up of an Our Father. You guys know what I'm talking about. And I showed up, and thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as fast as I could get it out so I can move on and get out. Is that right? Go drinking. Go find Rosie. Hallelujah. Oh, boy. Come on. Hallelujah. But isn't it great how the Holy Spirit will grab a hold of you and start opening things up to you? And it says, thy kingdom come. We say it all the time, God. And Jesus says already, you know what? My kingdom is in the earth and it's in you. Amen. It's dwelling in you. He says, thy will be done. Not my will. Is that right? Everybody say, everybody look at your neighbor and say, not my will. Now look at the other one on the other side and say, not your will either. That's right. You know, my wife, she'll tell me my will. Get that done, boy. I mean, yeah, come on, husband, say, yeah, no, I'm just kidding. Rosie goes, no. Henry, yeah, stop it, Henry. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Let's look at this. This is going to shake this part of what do we call it? Your theology. It's going to shake those things. It says right here, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. What? But I thought, yeah, you thought. But what is God saying here? What is Jesus saying? This is not just some prophet saying something. This is the Lord. He says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Do you see that? Do you guys feel the gravity of that statement?
Every day.
While God says, hey, it's not important that you look like a Christian, running around doing all those things that you think are Christians. What's important is doing what he tells you to do. That's what Jesus is saying. As a citizen of the kingdom of God, you've got to do what he tells you to do. Can I say, add this to it and nothing more? Nothing more. You don't have to add anything to it. Some folks, I will tell you, some folks in some churches are so busy running around doing so many things, Christian-like things, but God is saying, it's not what I have for you. I've got something for you. If you'll focus on me, you'll find it. And then you'll be part of the body of Christ, not just of your church. Can I tell you, the church is not the body of Christ. The church is relative to the body of Christ. It's related. I mean, we're millions of churches all over. The body of Christ is, how many say, it's one. It's one. Until we get that, you'll be criticizing every other church that's around. Well, this is not my church, not my church. Hey, I'm going to tell you as a pastor, nobody out of this church better be saying that we're better than anybody. Can I say that? Are you guys okay with that? Huh. We're the body of Christ. We belong to Him. We've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. We better have some respect for that. Because He says, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord. There's another place where He said, didn't we do mighty things in Your name? Didn't we heal people in Your name? Didn't we? Jesus turns and looks at me and says, I never knew you. I didn't know you. I thought God knows everybody. Oh, He does. But He knows you in the way that how you've been created for Him in His design. Do you know that? Not for what you want. Can I say that to you? Not your will be done. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this. Let's look at this. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now this is going to, we're going to use this scripture to bounce back and forth. But howbeit He, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. How many say amen to that? Who's He talking about? Talking about the Holy Ghost. Is that okay? Everybody okay with that, right? The Spirit of truth. Jesus is saying, I'm going to send the Spirit to, and He's going to guide you into all truth. You'll know truth because it's the Spirit of God. It's My Spirit that will bear witness in your spirit that this is what I'm telling you. The Spirit of truth, He has come. He'll guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. All right? It's a good verse, isn't it? He's going to speak whatever He hears because He is in connection with the Father. Is that right? And the Son. They are one. So when He speaks, it's because it's what God is speaking to you. Is that okay? Kind of make it a little bit clearer for you. Whatever He shall hear, He's going to speak it to you, and that shall He speak. And then He says this, and He will show you things to come. So there's some folks I know that there's been, I've had people come up to me and they tell me, hey, you know what? I don't think I've ever heard God speak to me. I said, really? And I said, you ever felt bad for, beating up somebody or cussing them out or doing or whatever? Do you ever feel bad? Yeah. Well, that's the Lord. His conscience. Do you have something within you called the conscience? And the Holy Spirit operates in that conscience. You'll feel bad. You'll want to say, hey, man, I should apologize. It's the Holy Ghost. His name is the Holy Spirit. He's talking to you. He's leading you. Always, whenever that happens, always go and apologize. Always go and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Always walk up, because these are those little areas where you'll realize, hey, that was God talking to me. That was me speaking. I've said something to Rosie, and I've heard the Holy Spirit say, no, you need to go apologize. I'll feel bad on the inside because I said it. When it came out, I felt, as soon as I said it. And it's not, it's not one of these, she'll get over it. Uh-uh, no way. Obey it. And it will strengthen you. Obey it. It will strengthen you. Is that okay? Same with you ladies. Some of you ladies, I've noticed some ladies. I shouldn't say that. Not that I take that back. Yeah. Man, you'll tell your husband anything you want. Ooh, be careful of that. Amen? Because he does have feelings too. And he can get hurt. So obey those times when you go, oh, I shouldn't have said that. And go and talk to them. Go say that to them. He, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of Himself, but will whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. Do you see what He's saying? Whatever He says, that's what He'll speak. Okay? So now look at this next verse. John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Then answered Jesus and said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Yeah, you like this? King James. You love it, don't you? For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. And so let's, you know what? It's kind of tough in the King James. Let's look at it again. Let's go, let's go to the NIV. This is Pastor John's Bible. So yeah, let's go to Pastor John's Bible. What do you think? Make it a little easier, okay? For us uneducated. No, I'm just come on, man. Oh, the Holy Spirit said, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Yeah. Praise God. Here it is in the NIV. It says this: Jesus gave them this answer. Verily, very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only that what he sees the Father doing. Because whatsoever the Father does, the Son does. Is that cool? Mm. Let's go to the TPT. Let's read that. This is Steve Cargill's translation. Hallelujah. It says this: so Jesus said, I speak to you timeless truth. Amen? Yep. The Son is not able to do anything from himself or through my own initiative. I only do the works that I see the Father doing, for the Son does the same works as his Father. Can I tell you something? Our greatest example was Jesus. And this is what Jesus is saying. I don't do anything on my own. But basically, that's all he's saying. I only do what the Father shows me or speaks to me. This next one, you can see it speaks to. But he said, whatever the Father shows me, that's what I do. Where was Jesus seeing what the Father was showing? He was seeing it in his prayer closet. When he, well, he called it a closet. Let's call it Jesus. Jesus had a prayer mountain. Is that okay? He would go to the mountain and pray. Is that right? In his prayer mountain, God was revealing to him what to do. Isn't that cool? Yep. There's a simplicity in it, folks. Just do what he tells you. Just do what he shows you. And watch this next verse. John chapter 8, verse 26. You got it on. Sorry. Hey, on your way out, man, make sure you tell Liz thank you. She's doing a great job. How do you say amen to that? She's doing great with this, man. Come on, man. Here's verse 26. He says, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And then he says, I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. So doing and speaking only the things that God has, but that's all he's asking you to do. He's not asking you to do a bunch more. I mean, say amen to that. Come on, man. I mean, let's read that in the Amplified. Sorry, John. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. In the Amplified, it says, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And I say to the world, and see that word only? Yeah. Only the things that I have heard of him. This is why I'm telling you, you don't go around just blasting out scriptures. What you hear in the ear, that's what you say. Can I say that to you? Folks, it really is an act of self-control. Do you know that? That's one of the spirit, that's one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. You say only what he tells you to say. No matter what's going on in front of your face, somebody's screaming at you, they're red in your face, just stand there and say, Lord, what do you want me to say? I had a guy tell me one time, we're in front of the shop where I worked. There's a bunch of guys out there talking. I was pretty much a new Christian, probably been saved maybe about a year. And I'm standing out there and there's a bunch of guys having just little conversations and all these little huddles all over, just waiting for the whistle to blow so we can leave. And I'm standing there and a friend of mine, he's a friend. He comes, he says, Henry, he goes, do you remember when you used to do this, that, and he started naming off all the stuff, the cussing, the drinking, all the stuff that I would do that he saw me do. He started naming them all off. It seemed like everybody, every little huddle, all of a sudden turned around, was watching what he was saying to me. And I'm looking, and I thought, Mondo, I can't believe you're saying this. But anyway, he's telling me that. And then he goes, do you remember? You remember? You used to be a little devil, is what he told me. But now you think you're an angel. Ooh, man. Everybody started laughing. And I said, Lord, give me a word. Amen? How many of you say, yeah, yeah, come on, God, give me a word, Lord. Let me say something that will chop him in half and all the rest of these comedians. Give me a word, God. Oh, my God. And God gave, he said, God gave me a word. I said, yeah, I felt the Holy Spirit come on me. And he said, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. That don't work. No. That's not the word I wanted. See, he wasn't addressing them. He was addressing me because I was angry and I wanted to cut him in half. I wanted to call fire down from heaven. Come on, man. Come on, God, man. Let's at least see all the toasties just for messing with your kid. Yeah. Let's see it. No, man. The wrath of God doesn't work the righteousness of God. Oh, my God. So I got mad at God. Anybody ever been mad at God? I said, oh, boy. Yeah. Thanks for that word, God. You really got me out of that. Yeah, thanks, God. Yeah, I can count on you, huh? Yeah, well, I was mad. Got all the way home. Told it was a Wednesday. I usually go to church on Wednesday night. I said, I ain't going to church tonight. I was mad at God. I laid down on the front couch and I kind of nodded off and the phone rang. My pastor calls me up. He goes, Henry, you come to church tonight? And I go, yeah. No, I said, well, you coming to church tonight? I go, oh. I didn't want to go. Didn't want to tell him I was mad at God. So I said, yeah, I'll go. And he says, okay, I'll see you then. And when I went to hang up with the phone, I heard this, and such were some of you. This is the word of God. It says, and such were some of you. Okay. I heard that. Thanks a lot, God. Didn't really help me out. I laid back down. When Rosie comes home, she likes to get for me to unload groceries. How many, anybody do that? So anyway, she pulls in. She beep, beep, she honks, and it woke me up. And as soon as I woke up, I heard that word again, and such were some of you. And I said, you trying to say something to me? Anyway, I told Rosie, hey, I didn't want to go to church tonight, but we're going to go, you know. So she goes, yeah, we always go to church. Yeah, well, okay, well. Didn't want to tell her what happened. But I hid here, and such were some of you. So I looked it up, and it's in the word scripture. It says, remember when you used to drink, you used to carouse, you used to do all those things. You guys, And it was just that list of sins that all of us had before we got saved. You know, now some of you didn't carouse, but some of you lied, some of you, you know, hated or whatever. All those things that came. But it said right after that list, it says, and such were some of you. It says, but now you are washed by the blood of the Lamb. You are clean. And it was like saying, the Lord was saying to me, Henry, yeah, I heard them. They were right. You used to be, but now you're clean and you're washed. And I rejoiced. I got all fired up. Yeah, God, I got it. I got you, man. You always have my back. He does. Can I tell you that? Nothing happens to you that he's not going to, that, you know, he's always for you and not against you. It might feel like it and feel like he's not backing you up. Oh, but he's backing you up. Taught me a great lesson. I got to a church. Pastor, what'd you need? He looks at me and goes, don't know. Can't remember. Apparently, he obeyed God too. Call Henry. Amen? Can I tell you? I mean, God knows. He absolutely knows. So we can trust him. How many of you like hearing God? I love to hear him when he speaks. I love it when he speaks. Most of the time when he speaks, it's a revelation. It'll change you. It will bring something to you. But we get so distracted in our world today, we hardly have time to even hear God. We're too busy on our TV. We're too busy on our telephones. We're too busy doing life. Where God says, I want you to take a break. Come with me. Come, let's walk. Let's walk. Let's talk. Amen. How many know that God's wanting to talk to you and show you things that you've never seen before? Let's go back to that one scripture. It's Matthew 6:10. Let's go back to that. So I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. Oh, Did I write that? Oh, I'm sorry. You had the right one up. I'm sorry. That was my fault. Matthew 7:21. Yeah. You had it right, Liz. She's doing good. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, oh, that's not the one I want either. I'm sorry. Yuck. Yeah, man. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, no, that's not it. Let me see. Which one was it? John 8? No. John 16:13. Boy, thank you, guys. Yeah. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. Here's the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. He'll give you truth. He guides you into the truth so that when you're walking, that truth that's within you that he's given you, you'll know when to give it and where to give it, because he'll say, I'll take you there. Is that okay? He will guide you into all that truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak to you. So he's going to be speaking to you in your closet what he wants you to hear. Is that okay? Isn't that cool?
Yep.
And then it says he will show you things to come. So he's got great things that he wants to show you. He wants to, and the only place you're going to find those things are in that place of quietness with him. He wants to take you there. This is where the body of Christ is going today, folks. I learned this in the closet. I learned that the Holy Spirit is saying, now's the time. Begin to speak to them that they need to obey my will and not their will. Their will is not even part of them. They don't have a will. Your will was put to death at the cross. And you've taken his will as your life. Is that okay? Is that okay? Hallelujah. A couple more scriptures. It says Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. Do you know that God, because sometimes people will tell you stuff, you know, hey, man, the end is now. Can I tell you something? That God is waiting for something. Do you know that? He is waiting for the body of Christ to become one. Do you know that? You watch this. Here's what he says. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, amen? He's not going to go to the cross anymore for you. He did it once. Is that okay? He sat down at the right hand of God. Amen?
Yep.
And then from that time, he's waiting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Do you guys know that you're perfect?
Amen.
By the offering that Jesus did for you, he placed you in a position of perfection. Oh, you don't know all that he's done for you. So that's why he says you're being sanctified. You're being set apart. You're learning about this perfection that he's placed in you. You're learning about Christ who dwells in you. You're learning about it. He's bringing you to it. Paul the Apostle said that till Christ be formed in you. So you're learning, but he has already positioned you in perfection. Do you know that? Do you know that nothing can go before that throne that's not perfect? Do you know that? Because God is perfect. His glory alone would wipe anything out just because of who he is. But he's perfected you forever. Isn't that crazy? This is a wild, this can be like up and down, but it's a simple thing. He's washed your sins away. You're clean. You're done. And he says that he's waiting till his enemies become his footstool. Whose job is that? That's us. When we begin to walk in the will of God, when we begin to do only the things that he tells us to do, the will of God will begin to operate in the earth like it has never done before. And when that happens, you're going to see a lot of these enemies fall. Hate, love. Hate is going to be complete. It's going to be overrun by love. All this, I do not like seeing these commercials where they're taking pills to get them out of depression. My dad, it bothers me, because the answer is Christ. The answer is Jesus. And by the body of Christ that's in the earth, that depression will be overwhelmed and put down. It will be an enemy that's broken. Yes. Sickness and disease. By the body of Christ, it will be overwhelmed by the glory of God, and it won't happen anymore.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Huh. And death, the last enemy to be defeated, has to be defeated by the body of Christ. Because Jesus already defeated it, we have to implement. Do you understand that? That's why a lot of folks will say to you, Henry, you believe that we don't have to die? I absolutely do. Without a doubt, I believe that you are subject to what you believe. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Whatever you believe, believe it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. What do you want? You want death or you want eternal life? Yeah, but it's talking about the body. Listen, God created Adam, body, soul, and spirit. He breathed into Adam his own spirit, and the body became a living soul. Do you understand that? And God told them, the day you eat of that tree, that's when you'll die. There was nothing there to kill Adam. What killed Adam? Come on, what killed Adam?
Sin.
Sin. S-I-N. Sin is, just like I told you, it is a downward push against the kingdom. That's why none of us should be walking in those things. Anything that's contrary to love, peace, joy, long-suffering, patience, goodness, the fruit of the Spirit, anything that's contrary to that, release it and let it go. Because, hey, that's not me. That was the old man. Do you recognize what was the old man and what's the new man? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. All those things. Look at Galatians. Find out what the fruit of the Spirit. Those aren't your fruits. Those are his fruits, and they should be operating within you. Isn't that cool? The body of Christ is on the rise, folks. It really is. God is saying, now's the time. Today's the day. You don't have tomorrow. Can you say that? Can I tell you that? Oh, well, next week I'm planning to go to San Diego. Nah. Well, let me tell you, you really don't have tomorrow. All you got is today. When that date gets here, man, you got today. Now you can go. Is that right? Oh, come on. You're not getting me. Know this, that God is moving the body of Christ into things that she's never seen before. You don't go backwards to find those things. You don't go back to the teachings of before. You go into your closet, and what is God saying to you personally? And that's where you'll move forward. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Could you stand? Glory to God. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff this morning, but the will of God is probably right at the top of the list. We need to think about and know that God is saying, amen. Yeah. Where is young Abe? He's our closer. Amen. This is our, what do you call it? What's the fourth batter? Cleanup, huh? So what I've done is I created a spot for him to come and clean up. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, brother.
Oh, it's kind of a dangerous thing to bring me up here after we were talking about do the will of God, because I could be up here all day. I talked about it before where I came in not really wanting to do anything. I didn't even, oh, it's rough. I didn't even want to be here when we showed up. And that was back when the church was over here near the lockers. We didn't have a whole sound booth. We had like two tables put together, and there's one guy doing the sound and the projectors. And he was gone on vacation. he wasn't here. So my mom's like, help out. And, you know, I was just thinking, is like, I'm not that guy. I'm not going to be here helping out the God I'm mad at. But then I did. You know, and then there's a time pastor asked me to do a Bible study. Or speak at the men's breakfast and then a Bible study. And, you know, I always thought I'm not that guy. What do I know? I mean, there's a lot of people that know the word better than me, right? There's gotta be. It's not me. And every time I said yes, fine, I'll be that guy, God made me that guy. Do you understand what I'm saying? I wasn't that guy until I said yes. Okay, there might be something God's asking you to be. All you got to say is yes. And, you know, the Bible says that the mind governed by the flesh is death. The mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. In Ephesians, it tells us, you are God's handiwork. And you were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. It is so much easier just to go along with God's plan than it is for us to go along with whatever we plan. And I'll tell you this. There's a scripture in Galatians. This is amplified. I guess I have to say sorry, Pastor John. But not sorry, because I use the NIV too. So when I'm up here. And it says, Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit, seek him and be responsive to his guidance. And then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and his precepts. So just, you know, Pastor saying this entire time, you have the Holy Spirit. It is a gift to us, our comforter, our counselor. And just go by whatever the Holy Spirit is calling you to do. So, if you would, bow your heads with me. Lord, I just ask that you help us to listen more carefully for your spirit. Make it so abundantly clear to us what it is we're supposed to do. Lord, I just ask that you give us a hunger for your word, for your relationship, for your love, for your people. And that you bring us together in unity so that we do your will, that we are about your business, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.